Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Good morning. So glad that you're here. If you're a guest or visitor, my name is Rob, and I'm a pastor here, one of many pastors, and we're just really thrilled that you're with us today. Are you ready for the Word of God? Is the question. Okay, you're awake. Way to go. Because at 9 o'clock, it was kind of, they were kind of there like three people in the balcony, but you are with it. So what we do is we do this together. I'm going to do the talking. You're going to do the listening, and you've got the harder part because you have to engage and listen, and you're open. Your heart is open to the Lord. You're saying, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say through your word, that's what I'm going to hear it. You're going to be so encouraged on parts of this message. I'm just telling you in advance. Really great message. Just humbly, I'm telling you, it's going to be great. But there's going to be parts of it that you're going to hate. Are we still friends? There's parts of it that are going to be so convicting. I only know this because I've been convicted so far just in hearing it. Because we don't preach ourselves, but we preach the Bible. And so I want to just begin by just saying a word of prayer and kind of giving us an opportunity to pause and open our hearts to the Lord and what He would say to us today. So, Lord, we just come to You this morning. We've worshiped You. We've, given our best as we're singing praise to You and thanking You. We welcome You here today. And we've given offerings to You, Father, and for the good of Your church and one another. And now we're at this part where we really want to hear from Your word. And so we invite Your Holy Spirit to come and speak to us today. Lord, I ask You for Your help as I share. Thank You for the ability and the gift of Your precious word. The things that we hear today, we're open. And we want our mind to be changed, and we want our heart to be changed. We want our life to be changed. We want to become more like You. And that's why we're here. So God, we know You're doing Your part. Help us by Your grace to do our part as well in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. In 1990, there was a movie that came out called Home Alone. Can you believe it was 1990? Oh my gosh, are you getting old? This is happening to you too, like aging? It's a crazy thing. In 1990, the movie was not expected to do that good. It came out November 16th in 1990. It was the same day that Rocky V came out. Rocky V was, of course, going to be a great movie, and the word that you just all had run through your head, what's the word that you just thought of? It's a name. Adrian! The Rocky, it was going to be great because of all the incredible acting. right. But they were shocked. They only sent Home Alone out to 1,200 cinemas, and it was number one all the way through February. And they ended up putting it in over 2,000 cinemas. It ran all the way through June of that year. All the way through June, made $285 million. That's an equivalent of $600 million in today's money. Macaulay Culkin, the Kevin in the story, he was paid $100,000 for the first one. Don't you know, he got paid on the second time he did the movie, $4.5 million. That's why you have an agent right there. And so the movie did incredibly well. It's still one of the highest rated movies of all time, Home Alone. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is very clear and evident in the movie Home Alone. And I'm going to show you, you already know, but I'm going to show you where the gospel is located in the movie Home Alone as we're talking about Christmas classics. The story goes, you're familiar with the story. The little boy, Kevin, gets left home alone, okay? His family leaves on accident, and then his mom remembers, what did we forget? Kevin, we forgot our son, and he's home there alone, and there's these... Joe Pesci and the other guy, the burglars who try to, through the whole film, they're trying to get to him, and it's great fun. They end up getting to him, and the end of the story is basically his family comes back, he's rescued, blah, 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 and they get reunited, and he learns that he should love his family. That's not the gospel. That's not the point. I'm going to share with you, there's a subplot that I found in this movie where the gospel is really present, but I thought it would be fun. Just as a reminder, because maybe it's been a minute since you've seen this, just to watch some people fall down and get shot with a BB gun. So check this out.
I'm up here, you morons! Come and get me!
Heads up! Huh?
It's a real intellectual movie. It's like a documentary. I always love watching these kids respond. Oh my gosh. This was set in Chicago, by the way, home of my Chicago Bears. I'm this person now that has two teams. I'm a Bengal fan. I've been a Bengal fan for the last 5 years. You're like, you don't know what it's like, but I'm learning. Doing a series in 2019 on suffering. We'll talk about the Bengals then. But this year, for sure, I'm definitely a Bears fan this year. I don't know if you caught the Rams game. Where are my Bears fans at? Okay, two of you? Okay, we got to stick together. Okay. That has nothing to do with the message. It's set in Chicago, though, and so I was on that tangent. But there's a subplot that happens through this film. Old Man Marley is a neighbor. And there's rumors and gossip about Old Man Marley and that he had, murdered people and done all this stuff. And they have him outside. He's got his garbage can with salt, and he's got his shovel, and he's putting salt on the sidewalk. And they say that's where he keeps the bodies, in the garbage can. And so there's the story. But it ends up that Kevin sees him at the store. And then I'm just giving you a quick recap. He sees him at church. You remember they sit together at church, and Kevin says to the old man, he finds out the old man, the rumors aren't true, and they both have this similar issue. Kevin feels like he's said things about his family, and that's why they're not there. And the old man tells him about how he doesn't have any relationship with his granddaughter who's singing in the choir because of a broken relationship with his son. The highlight, the climax of the film for me comes when at the end he is, Macaulay Culkin, Kevin is going to the window and he sees after his family has come back and everybody's been reunited and he sees out the window and he looks at Old Man Marley who is then reunited with his family. And we don't have any details about how he was reunited, but he's picking up and holding his granddaughter and hugging his granddaughter. And this moment in the film, and they wave at one another, and the old man emotional, it looks like he's crying, and he's just so, it's like a Hallmark moment, except there's good acting and good writing. And the music is fitting, and it's just really meaningful. And some of you hate me right now because I don't like Hallmark movies, and just because they're so poorly made. And not fun to watch. Could you hand me that? So this week we got all kind of pictures and stuff. Like I got a guy sent me pictures of his socks that on the bottom of the socks it says, if you can see these, I'm watching Hallmark movies. And that was a man that sent that to me, so that was odd. And then we got this. You can't clap for that. No. Oh, so now you will. 85 million people are going to watch those. So the point of the story, the gospel that's in Home Alone, is reconciliation. And if there's ever any story that you see, by the way, God is always talking to us about the gospel. He shares the gospel with us every time the sun comes up. He shares the gospel with us every time we enjoy nature. Anything in life that you thoroughly enjoy that is pure and right and good, the gospel is in it. All of creation is telling you that God loves you. All of creation is telling you that Jesus died for you. And in every really great story, every really great story where your heart is warmed, the reason that your heart is warmed, unless you're just a cold person, when you see this old guy hold his granddaughter, the reason your heart is warmed is because God made your heart. And whenever you see the gospel, you relate to it and you say, could that be possible? Reconciliation? I want to talk a little bit about reconciliation. Coming back together, reconciliation means this, a restoration of friendly relations. Reuniting, reunion, bringing together again, conciliation. I like this, fence mending. The gospel makes it possible. The fact that God sent his son to the world, divinity wrapped in skin, a limited human being, fully God and fully man, who would live a perfect life, shed his blood for our sins so that we could be reconciled with God. At the heart of God sending his son, as we celebrate on Christmas, is the reconciliation that is possible between us and God, but also us and one another. Now, just before you get your hopes too high about Christmas, you know, your expectations can be crazy about Christmas. And you expect the perfect meal, the perfect ham, the perfect... You already know you're going to visit family, right? So it's not going to be perfect. And I'm talking about reconciliation, and you have in your heart, maybe this is the Christmas that we all get back together, and Tiny Tim says a prayer, and it's one, whatever. Maybe that will happen, but I'm just telling you, you can't control other people's level of crazy. You don't have any control over other people and what they decide to do. And some people in your family, in your world, at your workplace, they're just nuts. And they're not going to change. I mean, apart from a miracle from Almighty God that you also don't control that, what you can control is whether you will live in offense or not. You can control whether you are offended, bitter, unforgiving. You can control that. You can control whether you have revenge in your heart towards people. You can't control what they do. And maybe there will be a great reconciliation in your family, and I pray that it's true. But I'm telling you that even if it's not true and it doesn't happen, you can have peace in your heart this Christmas season. And actually, when you have peace in your heart and the people that are around you that want to manipulate you aren't manipulating you, that'll make them more mad than anything. That's not the reason that we get closer to Jesus, but it does come in handy. If you keep your peace, if you're not offended, if you are forgiving, and all of this is possible. I want to talk about reconciliation with God, but I want to first begin with a larger topic, and that is what does the scripture say about us being reconciled with one another? I just want to talk about our relationships for a moment. Pastor Eric, during the offering, talked about us being one, and we are a family of God. And what I'm going to share with you is so simple, and yet it may be the biggest sin. We talk about big sins. What I'm going to share with you today, I believe, causes the most cancer and problems in churches and in businesses, in families, than anything else. Reconciliation with one another requires courage. Reconciliation with one another requires courage. See, I don't know why we're like this. We are like this. That when we have a problem with one another, the temptation is when you and me have a problem, I go to someone else and tell them about that problem as a prayer request or whatever. Worse yet, I go to Facebook and try to get a bunch of people on my side. I haven't even talked to you yet. I'm talking about what destroys relationships, what destroys the culture. You know, the problem at your workplace, if there's any drama anywhere, and I know we watch drama on TV and you keep up with the Kardashians, you know what actually promotes drama and creates drama in your life is that you won't close your mouth about things. Isn't this a fun message so far? Matthew 18:15 says this. Let me describe it. If your brother sins against you, which, by the way, your brother will sin against you. You should not, at a certain age, you should not be surprised and you should not be able to be offended. You should know that everybody's imperfect and you're imperfect and stuff's going to happen and people will sin against you. If you don't know that, I'm telling you that right now. We are not perfect people. And this is where forgiveness is necessary, required. The only way our relationship works. The secret to a great marriage is great grace. I mean, either that or be perfect, and that ain't happening. So if you have a bunch of imperfect people, what is required in every relationship? Forgiveness. Grace. So if your brother sins against you, it should say when your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. That sounds fun. This is the good part of it. Go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. See, I find this in myself. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. But many times we lack the courage necessary to tell our brother and sister when we've been hurt or offended and go and tell them alone, not with anybody else, not get a crowd of people to agree with you about it. Just go to them alone, the Bible says. This is so simple and it's so profound and it changes everything. You want to limit the drama in your family, in your life, in your workplace? You go to the person, keep a short account with everybody in your life, and you go to them, and here's how it works. And I've done this a time or two, where you go to the person. I've had people come to me too, believe me. I go to the person and I say, hey, I need to circle back with you of something you said in the meeting. And it kind of pinged me. Now, listen, humbly, this could totally just be me. I think this is one of the reasons we don't go to each other, because like, oh, it's probably just me. But you really don't think it's you. That's why you've gone to the person. If you've ever gone to the person, you're like, it could be me, but obviously I don't think it's me because I'm talking to you. Right? And we're scared of this moment, but yet you are filled with the Spirit of God, and we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ here, and I'm filled with the Spirit of God. My experience is 99 times out of 100, just the conversation alone puts you higher in their eyes, and you get along better, and you walk out, and it's crystal clear. You say, brother, I feel like this pinged me. This hurt my feeling. I don't know if it's just me. Maybe I'm oversensitive. What was it? They say, oh, man, I was having a bad day, or they say, you were having a bad day. You misinterpreted what I was saying, and then you have it out. Oh, and it's so good as brothers and sisters in Christ, you kind of talk about stuff and you figure it all out and you leave with this clean slate. Why do we not do this? We are worried, we are afraid that they will reject us or it won't work out. And so then we go and talk to other people. I would want you to join me in this effort that I will never say anything about any person as if they were not standing right with me. As if everything you were saying wasn't being recorded. Drama comes from talking about a real problem with the wrong person. You want to create drama. I guess I could have named it three steps to creating all kinds of crazy drama in your life. Step one, tell everybody except the person that you have a problem with the problem. And that's what creates drama. And if you watch it, you can see it happen. So here's what happens. Somebody comes to you and they want to say something about someone else. I had this happen in my life where there was this guy who was gossiping about one of my dear friends and I didn't shut it down. I should have shut it down. You know what I should have said? Here's what I do. Sounds like you need to go and talk to your brother. You want to shut down gossip in a heartbeat? You know one thing will happen. If you have somebody ever come to you and they're gossiping about someone else and you say, it sounds like a legitimate issue, but you're sharing it with the wrong person. Here's what I say. Have you talked to that person? You know what will happen to that gossiper in front of you? They won't come to you with gossip anymore. Because that was an awkward moment you just created. And I encourage you, this is the integrity of being a Christ follower and protecting the people around you. If you love the people around you, you say, it sounds like it's a legitimate problem. I don't know, but you're in an illegitimate place sharing it. Have you spoken to the person? Then the Bible goes on to say, if you go and they don't listen, then you take another person. And then if they don't listen, you take them to the church. I don't know how we work this out, but this would be quite a Sunday, wouldn't it? Now these 15 people lined up here wouldn't hear it from their spouse. They wouldn't hear it from a friend. Now we're putting it before all of you. And if they still don't hear it, the Bible says, treat them like a Gentile and a tax collector. So that should be fun. I don't know how to do that either. To us, you're all tax collectors. Get out. If you're a tax collector, I'm sorry, but we just don't generally like giving our money to you, so sorry. Somehow, the Scripture is teaching us there's a process, and the first part is the most important part, which is go to your brother or sister who has offended you. Work it out amongst yourselves so that you don't promote all of that garbage and destroy the culture of your family, of your business. If you have a problem in your workplace right now, I promise you it is related to gossip. You want to find a spiritual person? Somebody who's really spiritual is somebody who you never hear say a bad word about someone else. The most spiritual people in the world control their tongue, control their mouth. James says of the tongue, so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. On a large ship, he also says, there is a rudder. In the early service, I said, udder. I said, no, that's a cow. That's a man. And one guy said, you're really milking that joke for all it's worth. And we started having fun with that. The rudder is a small part that controls the whole thing. The secret to having no drama in your family and life. The secret, if you really want to destroy drama, the secret is in your own mouth. And all of us, to the person, are convicted about it. Who are we that we would praise God with this mouth and then tear down our brothers and sisters with the very same mouth? And God created them. James 3 goes on, he says, now with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. How could I say I love God and at the same time I'm tearing down and cursing my brothers and sisters? This is a great opportunity for us in the holiday season. When you go visit your family or when they come visit you, who are we to judge everyone? Who are we to say unkind things and put all of our stuff on them? You should just be quiet. Beware of people who talk a lot around you. Where there's much talking, Proverbs says there's much sin. And isn't this true in your own life? When you're tired or when you're weak or when you're stressed, what's the first thing to go? Your tongue. God, give us spirit-filled tongues. You say, where's the New Testament miracles where people are walking on water? You don't need a New Testament miracle. You don't need me to walk on water. What my wife needs is for me to walk across the kitchen and ask her for forgiveness. That's a New Testament miracle. What we need with one another, filled with the Holy Spirit, the New Testament miracle is not that people would come back from the dead, but that people who are now raised from the dead by Jesus Christ would go to one another with great courage and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And we repair those relationships. I find in our culture, we are reticent to deal with the problems we have with one another. We avoid it. I know by the silence in this room that it's true. We avoid it. I'm encouraging you. It's not an American thing. It's not a Nigerian thing. It's a kingdom of God principle that if you have a problem with a brother or a sister, do them the favor of going to them and telling them, and you work it out. And what you'll find, and I'm sure you have found this, is that the Spirit of God is there with you. You're not there alone, and you're repairing that relationship. And God is honored when you do that, and he's glorified when you do that, because he's a God of reconciliation. Now, if you don't do this, by the way, if people come, and whenever someone comes to me and says, a lot of people are saying, dearly beloved, listen, when someone says that to me, you know what I know about that person? They give ear to gossip. How would you know a lot of people are saying unless you're listening? And if you're listening, then you should be saying, go to your brother, go to your sister. And if you're not saying go to your brother and go to your sister, then you'll give ear to it. But if you say go to your brother or sister, the people know they won't come to you anymore with that stuff. You can free yourself from hearing gossip by not giving ear to it. Proverbs 16:20 says, fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. Drama goes out at our house. Why? We refuse to speak ill of people. We refuse. We go to people when we have an issue. We keep short accounts with people. And you can come to a place in your life with Christ where you can say, as far as it is with me, I'm at peace with all people. I've gone and made peace with everyone that I can. And those who I haven't been able to make peace with, I have peace in my heart. Through God, I've forgiven them. What's the bare minimum requirement, even of someone who is your enemy, your sworn enemy, someone who hates you, despises you, spitefully uses you, cheats you, has stolen and lied and put stuff on Facebook about you? As a believer and follower in Jesus, you are called to love and pray for that one. And if we're called to love and pray for our worst enemy, how much our brothers and sisters? We're called to love one another and have grace and mercy. I tell people, I only give out the grace that I need myself. So there's plenty here because I know I'm going to need it. that we could control what we say. This is true spirituality. So the end of the story was, I had a friend that, he was a dear friend of mine, and I told you that I had another person who was gossiping about this person. I didn't shut him down. By not shutting him down, I was really agreeing with him against my friend. Well, I was on staff at another church. This was when we were in Houston, and I remember coming into a meeting, and this gossiper got fired. You know what I felt like in that meeting? Scared. Like, uh-oh. We were all brought together, and this person wasn't there. They were gone because they were gossip. They were a gossip. And I had to go to my brother, and I had to, it was so humbling. I had to go to my brother and say, I listened to it. I wanted to say, I didn't say anything, but that's just lame. I was in it, and I love you, and I'm sorry. And a little bit of trust was eroded, and we had to work through that together. But we worked through it together, and he forgave, and our relationship got stronger. I know the damage that this can do, and I want to encourage you, especially over the holiday season, to really watch what you're saying. You can limit the drama in your life by limiting what you say, being wise with your words. The greatest miracle of Christmas is the possibility of reconciliation. Where it is within your power, the Bible says, be at peace with all people. Where it is within your power, be at peace with all people. And I pray that we would continue this week even to be convicted about those things that we would say about other people. The greatest gift of Christmas is that we can be reconciled with God. Think about this. We can be reconciled with one another if we'll work through it and we'll forgive and we'll have grace. And we can have that reconciliation with one another possible because of forgiveness. But I want to say even greater, or the source of it, is the fact that there's a dividing wall that has been broken down between you and God. There is nothing right now that's separating you and God. Why? Because God came in the form of a baby. He didn't parachute in as some deity distant from us and tell us how to do things. Why doesn't God just come down on a mountain and just put his foot down? That's not how he does things. The incarnation is necessary for salvation. God, fully man and fully human, lives a perfect life, sheds his blood, understands what we're like, experiences the wrath of Almighty God while experiencing this being human, the punishment of sin, and yet fully righteous, conceived by the Holy Spirit. So you have perfect God experiencing the wrath of God, shedding his blood, making it possible for us to be filled with his Spirit, made totally new. So the incarnation, reincarnation, and we don't believe in reincarnation, but it just kind of fits right there. The incarnation, then the Holy Spirit coming inside of us, making us like him as well. So my question for you is, we're talking about the incarnation, we're talking about reconciliation. Are you enjoying your relationship with God? Are you enjoying the fact that you are reconciled with God? There is no more dividing wall between you and him. You can have a relationship with him. The question is, are you enjoying that relationship with him? I have a professor, Dr. Kim. She is from Korea originally. She told me this story. She teaches in Asbury Theological Seminary. And she told this story. She was a missionary to Jordan. So she's Korean, from South Korea. She had to learn Arabic, and she also knows English. She speaks all these languages. When she was in Jordan as a missionary, she was doing outreach and caring for Muslims. She was doing Bible studies with Muslims. There was one Muslim woman who gave her life to Jesus. And so Dr. Kim would go to her house, and they would study the Bible. One day, when Dr. Kim went to study the Bible with this Muslim woman who had converted to Christianity, the woman was shaking uncontrollably and extremely scared. And Dr. Kim told me the story. She said she was shaking and she was really scared. She was crying, and I didn't know why. And she said, well, my husband has found out that I'm a Christian, and in that culture there, in that part of Jordan, she said, he's going to kill me. And in that moment, Dr. Kim said she had this overwhelming sense from the Holy Spirit to tell this woman something. But she wasn't sure if it was her or the Holy Spirit. You ever have this experience where you're like, I think I should, I don't know. And you're kind of, so she said, I'm going to pray about it for a little bit. Let's do the Bible study. She's thinking, I'm just going to pray and see if this is really from the Lord or not. So the whole lesson that day happened to be on martyrdom, which wasn't a handy, you know, kind of lesson. But she said, well, that was the lesson. So we went through the lesson. We watched the videos. We did the teaching and the Bible study. And as I prayed about it, she said, I still felt that I should share this with this woman. And she was a friend of hers, but they weren't really super close. But so she shared. Dr. Kim shared with this woman what was on her heart, but she believed was from the Holy Spirit. She said, I know you're afraid of your husband that he's going to kill you, but I want you to tell your husband this. When your husband gets home, tell your husband, I will die for you. Tell your husband to kill me. Dr. Kim went to her house, back to her home, and then she told her husband what she had told this woman. And he said, what did you do? And she said, at that moment, she realized, what did I do? And they like pulled the blinds and locked the door. She said, I stayed in the house for like a week. I was scared. I kind of snapped back to reality. And she started praying and she was asking the Lord, Lord, who was it that was the real me? Was it the me that said, I love you and I'll die for you? I don't know this woman. She said, I don't want to die. Or is it the me that's like hiding in my house for a week, scared and thinking, what in the world did I do? Which, by the way, obviously the professor didn't die. The missionary didn't die because she told me the story and the woman was okay as well. But the Lord spoke to her and said, I wanted you to know the kind of love that I love you with. I wanted you to experience what it's like to be loved by God. The same love that she had in that moment by the Holy Spirit to say, I want to die for you. That's the love that God has for us. See, Jesus doesn't love us with a contractual love that says, well, we have sinners and we got to solve this problem. I'm going to send my son and sign up here and line up over there and then sign the paper and then you get the paper and then you go over there and go be Christians and be the body of Christ and be thankful for the fact that I paid for your sins and it's just a contract. Now earn it and do it. No. It's with real love that he loves you and me. And so I would ask you, are you enjoying your reconciliation with God? The reconciliation that you cannot earn, that you cannot purchase, you cannot buy. You cannot work for your salvation. You work from your salvation. You do not work for your salvation. You work from a place of salvation. And a friend of mine likes to say it. I met John Piper, you know, when he was here, so now he's a friend of mine. I don't quote him anymore. I just say a friend of mine said this because we email back and forth, so I don't know if you know that or not, but now you do. Pretty big deal. He said that God receives the most glory when we enjoy him the most. And over the holiday season, what your family needs is they need to see you walking in the grace and mercy of Almighty God. They need to see you enjoying your reconciliation with him, purchased by him and made possible by him. I have a God. And I have a God who loves me, provides for me, he cares for you, he knows what you're facing, and he's with you every single moment of every single day, giving you the grace you do not deserve and you cannot earn, but you should absolutely be walking in full enjoyment of his forgiveness and his reconciliation and his love for you, giving him everything in your life. And as you're enjoying him, you're letting go of that materialistic idea that anything is going to satisfy you other than him. You're letting go of everything the world tells you that's going to satisfy you. If I had the perfect house, if I had the perfect, oh, the picket fence, oh, the granite countertop, for real? Oh, the perfect body, the perfect meal, the perfect food, the perfect workout, the perfect, come on. There's only one thing that's going to satisfy the soul of every human being, and that is walking in a genuine relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And nothing else will satisfy. And as that satisfies us, that reconciliation, that's contagious. And that's what the people around us need to see the most. Would you stand with me? We'll pray before we go. Want to remind you that if you come to church next weekend at this same time, you will be home alone. God will be with you, but it'll just be you and him because we ain't going to be here. 2, 4, and 6 on Sunday. The staff's pretty excited about, you know, not having church until 2 p.m. That's going to be cool. 2, 4, and 6 on Sunday. 2, 4, and 6 on Monday, and we'll have that candlelight together. We're really looking forward to it. I've already done this, and I hope you'll join me in this. Sending out, receiving that text, you know, texting Vine to 97,000 and immediately getting a cool meme kind of image. And I've sent that to some of my friends that don't go to church, okay? We're not talking about inviting all your church friends to your church because, you know, don't do that. Invite people who don't go to church. And I've got a few friends who are interested in coming at Christmas, and that's a great opportunity. So let the Spirit of God lead you in that and pray for that and pray for your friends as you send that out. So, Father, we come to you today, and we just thank you for your wonderful word. And we thank you for the conviction of your Holy Spirit, the encouragement of your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we want to live the way that you want us to live, and we want to be the kind of people that please you and take pleasure in you. So, Father, may our pleasure in our relationship with you be contagious over this holiday season. Bless your people this week as they go with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.